We thank you, Father God. Glory be to God forevermore. Thank you, we don't have to go to hell. Thank you, Father God, you sent your Son here to take sickness, disease, poverty, lack, depression, everything that Satan would try to place upon us, you took it. Jesus bore it. Thank you, Father God, what he bore, we don't have to. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Thank you, you made a way for us out of every situation. Anything that comes up, we have the answer. We have the answer because we got the greater one living on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's good, ain't? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's Richard. They're here. Y'all can come up if y'all want. Oh, thank you. I feel pretty. Oh, it's the kids. Okay. Man. I don't have them. It's right here.
All right, so we have an announcement.
It's announcements.
First and foremost, we've made a big change, really, by the Holy Spirit lead. But we've had two wonderful people that have led the children's ministry for how many years, Heather or Clinton?
13 years.
They have served in the children's ministry for 13 years. If you've never served in the children's ministry, that might not be a big deal, but we will put you back there for a month, and then you'll be, like, really clapping because 13 years, it takes a special anointing and grace to be able to minister to our children and to be able to step in. We have made a change. We have Brittany and Richard, if you want to come forward here. They are going to be leading our next-gen ministries. Yeah. So we are really, really excited.
Can you guys... I don't know if y'all got a chance to go see the kids' room. If you haven't, after church, you ought to go check it out. They have done an amazing job to it. It looks great. It really does. They got a stage in there. TV's mounted. It just looks awesome. Different colors now. It's really good. You ought to check it out.
We are excited. So Next Gen is going to include the youth, which we've been a part of, the children's ministry, and then including Kids Life, Baby Life, and Little Life. But we will be primarily teaching between youth and kids. So we will be switching between Wednesdays, along with, we have several teams that are helping us, which is incredible, like amazing blessing from God, and so we just want to be unified back there, so everything's going to be very unified, the teaching, the even the games, the camps, the everything is going to be very unified, so that there's no gaps. There's everyone feels like one part of the same body. When you go from one classroom to the next as you graduate or you're promoted, you know, it doesn't feel strange. You know who you're working with. You know who's there. You understand the same things because everything is going to be taught from the Word of God at a very young age. Not that it hadn't already been. We had amazing leaders back there.
Yeah, we did. We did a great job.
We've been led to go a different way now. And that's, you know, it's a new season. So it's going to be really incredible, and we're excited.
Amen.
Yes. Let's give it for Miss Heather, Miss Mr. Clint again, too, real quick.
Yeah, amen.
So, thank you so much. And the reason why this transition is so easy is because they've laid a foundation that is just amazing. So we get to step into a role that is already set up, and it's not like resetting it up; it's already set up. So we just get to revamp the room and get to work in it. Just lead, be led by the Holy Spirit, and get to do those things that we always are. But thank you guys so much for the invite.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pray over you guys. Can you guys, as kids, pray over your new teachers? Can we kind of gather around this way? We're going to pray over them. I know you guys know how to pray. Let's come this way, you guys.
It's like
we're going to pray.
Cats.
There we go. You guys are doing such a good job. All right. If you can't reach, that's okay. We can just kind of hold out our hand.
Amen.
There we go. Yeah, that's all right. Good job, you guys. Wow. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the grace and the ability that is on them. Thank you, Jesus, for the special anointing to be able to teach your children, your special children, the Word of God, the stories that are in the Bible. Lord, they might not remember the lesson, they might not remember the craft, but Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that they will remember the love that they felt when they walked in that classroom. And I thank you, Jesus, that your love will be on these teachers, on these directors, Father God, and Lord, that it will filter down to all of the other teachers. And Holy Spirit, there is no junior Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It is the Holy Spirit that will be in that classroom and in these teachers and in these children. I thank you, Lord, that there will be a fire that is ignited and a flame that is burning back there. And I thank you, Jesus, for revival and for healings and for miracles and for flows of the Holy Spirit and power to be back there. I thank you, Lord, that they are leading a generation of warriors. Thank you, Father God. Give them ideas and wisdom and how to handle situations from the throne of God. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you haven't ever been with kids, you ought to try it out. Amen. Me and Chelsea did it for a while. It was exciting, to say the least. Amen. Amen. And we as pastors, we really don't take this lightly. Amen. Because it's impartations to these kids' lives. Amen. Just like kids, you know, sometimes a kid might say something and everything, and then the parent goes, I don't know where they got that from. They got it from you. Who do you think they hang out with all day? Amen. It's stuff you're imparting to them, and they're picking it up. And so we don't take it lightly. Amen. Amen. We actually do background checks and everything else on people. Because we ain't just going to let anybody back there with our kids. Amen. I should have heard a better amen than that. Amen. Well, it's almost time to quit already. Amen. All right. Amen. We'll see. Well, all right. We'll just go. Amen. A couple things I want to... tonight, y'all know, is the book night. We're actually going to cancel it. Amen. Me and Pastor Chelsea got invited to go someplace with some pastors, so we're going to go. Amen. Amen. And since we did have service last Sunday, and then we're going to have something this next Sunday, too, kind of give y'all a break, too. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk about us sowing again, I believe. Amen. What was I going to say? There it is. It was on the other side. That's why. Amen. Two of our AC units went out here. I forgot. I've been forgetting to tell y'all this for a month or two or however long. But anyways, if you'd like to sow towards that, sow towards projects, because we're going to get them fixed. Especially before summer hits. Amen. Tell y'all funny. So the ladies in the office, they do a great job, first off. I appreciate the help because I work. Amen. But somebody put on one of the connection cards the prayer request, please, Pastor Ricky, make it freezing for a reason again. I was like, yes, I agree with that. Trying to give everybody a break, you know, because normally cold in here, and I'm sweating, so you're welcome. You're welcome. Amen. All right, I'm going to read a few things to you, and then we'll start off. A sower is not someone who just sows every now and then. Yes, sir. Amen. What if a farmer was like that? What if a farmer's planting seed just planted, I'll just do a little bit every now and again? Would he be able to function at all? Why not? He only have a harvest every now and again. Amen. A sower is someone that sows continually or constantly. Amen. Every now and then, I looked up some different like synonyms for it. A few of them are here and there, occasionally, sometimes, on rare occasions. What if a farmer sowed like that? Amen. It's things we need to think about, right? Turn over to Malachi real fast, please. While you're going over there, a question I'd like to ask you. You ain't got to answer it. Well, don't answer it. Just think it to yourself. How many of y'all have ever thought about being a millionaire? However many has actually just thought, if I, you know, being a millionaire, living a millionaire life, you know? Amen. It's things we got to bring up that image on the inside of us. Because if we just constantly look at ourselves as barely getting by, can't afford anything, that's where we'll live. Amen. Should have heard a better amen than that. Amen. So Malachi 3, look at verse 6 of the King James. It says, "For I am the Lord, I what?" Amen. "I change not." That's what it says. "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen. Pretty simple. Amen. Then you go down to verse 8. It says, verse 8, "Will a man do what? Yet you have robbed me where? But you say, where and where have I robbed thee? And where is it? And where?" Amen. So where at? Some of y'all don't want to answer, but I'll answer it for you. It says, in tithes and offerings, not just tithes. Amen. It says, will a man rob who? Will a man rob a man? Doesn't say that. Who is it saying you're robbing? Amen. So we need to actually realize what that's saying. Will a man rob who? God. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have I robbed thee? In tithes and what?
Offerings.
Amen. Next verse, please. Verse 10, actually. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of who? If I will not what? Open for who?" Yes, for us. Whoever's a tither and an offering giver, right? "Open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out what? That there shall not be room enough to what?" So I heard one minister say, if you're able to receive it, then you're not at the windows of heaven. But another question we need to ask ourselves is, why have I been tithing for 10, 20 years and I still don't have this? Huh? Why have I been tithing, but I don't see the windows of heaven open? Amen. Because it's not just tithes. I'll let you know that it's not just tithes. Because what did verse 8 say? You've robbed me where? What's offerings? It's sowing seed also, right? It's sowing seed. And so because you can't... Amen. Amen. The windows of heaven, if we're not in overflow, or if we barely got enough money to just pay our bills and then we just have a little bit, you know, a little bit left over, it's not the windows of heaven. Because at the end, it says that there's not room enough to receive it. Yeah. Well, if I have room enough to receive it, I don't see the windows of heaven open then. Amen. And why are the windows of heaven not open then? See, we just been going through life tithing, talking about all the windows of heaven. But none of us have, well, you might have. I'm not speaking for you, amen. But some people haven't seen the windows of heaven open. Why? You know, it's these are questions we need to ask ourselves, like, why? Why have I been tithing for 10, 20, whatever, however long, years, but yet I'm not receiving this part? Amen. Amen. All right, now we're going to get into the message. Just a few questions I wanted to ask you. Father God, we love, thank you, and praise you, and thank you for another opportunity to be able to gather around your word and to feed our spirit, man. Thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to feed our faith on your word. Not my will, but your will be done this morning. I thank you, Holy Ghost, for utterance this morning. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths from your word that I didn't even plan on saying. But I thank you, Father God, for answers for the congregation, and not only for them, but also for myself, Father God. And I receive it right now by faith. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because, you know, there's always going to be a few people that say, well, you're always talking about money. Well, we should. Because if that's part of a thing that Jesus took on the cross, why ain't we talking about it? We want to talk about salvation. Thank God for it. But where's everything else? I should have heard a way better amen than that. Look, I mean, you might as well get happy about it. You might as well. Because if it belongs to you, then why not receive it? That's just where I'm at with it. If it belongs to me, it's mine, and it belongs to me. And Satan cannot steal it from me or take it from me. Now, it can't be on my part where I'm just walking around in ignorance, which ignorance is just unlearned, don't know any better. Amen. I don't know what the word says about it. But as soon as I get light on it, it's all over for him. Because once again, me and Chelsea, the first year, I made what? $12,000, $13,000 in 1 year. Amen. With her, the three girls, and I have a son. He still lives with his mom in Oklahoma. $12,000 or $13,000 in 1 year. Next year wasn't that much better. Then the next year, a little bit more. Then the next year, a little bit more. But we way past that. Hallelujah. Amen. And last year, not last year, but the year before, me and Chelsea, thank God for the ability that he placed on us. Amen. For an opportunity to show us what the word says about sowing. And so we starting to learn about the windows of heaven, and we're getting into it. Hallelujah. We are, because we got more money than we do month now. Hallelujah. I said we got more money than we do month now. At the beginning, we didn't. At the beginning, I've skipped a few meals. Why? So they could eat. That's why. Amen. And the man should. Yeah, I should have heard a way better amen than that from you men. Amen. All right. But we ain't there no more. Hallelujah. Galatians 6. Go to Galatians 6, please. Verse 7. We'll read out of the Passion. You can pull that up. Amen. How many of y'all last year, between tithe and offering, gave more than you ever did before? Amen. You ain't got to raise your hand. I'm not looking for hands. I'm just saying, think to yourself. Sorry, but you know how many was able to do that? You know, in 2000, we did over 40,000. To God be all the glory. 20 what? Oh, 2000. Wow. Yeah, that's. I was still in high school. 2021. Sorry. No. 2020. We'll get it right in a minute. 2020, that's when we did. And last year, thank God, we did over that. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's funny because you look at your bank account, not your bank account, but you look at what you made throughout the year, and you're like, how did that happen? How did I sow and tithe more than what I made last year? Because God will never be what? That's why. You sow, it'll be brought back to you. Multiplication type. Amen. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. Amen. Next. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was what? Amen. I'd make a mental note of that, because sometimes some people are like, why did this happen? The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. Now, sometimes Satan wants to defeat you. Not all the time, it's something you planted. Amen. But he can't defeat us, right? No, he can't. But right here it says, the harvest you reap reveals, lets you know what you've been planting. Amen. Well, you know, we just don't have enough money. Okay. Well, the harvest you reap reveals the seed that you've been planting. Amen. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into the natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of what? If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, amen, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. Amen. Next. And don't allow yourselves to be wary or what? In planting what? For the season of what? The wonderful harvest you've planted is what? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all in agreement with me? We're going to get everything out this morning, right? Amen. Next. Take advantage. Amen. Amen. Take advantage. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to who? Your family members? It could be them, but more than likely it's others. Amen. Especially to our brothers and sisters, where? Amen. Who cares if they don't go to the same church as you? Are they in the family? Amen. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Amen. Will you pull that up in the King James, please? I looked up the word opportunity, and it means definition. Opportunity is a measure of time, a limited period of time, or a situation in which it is possible for you to do something that you want to do. A favorable time or occasion. Amen. I like that. Go to verse 7, please. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Next, please. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Next. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, say due season. See, a sower will always has a due season. A sower always has a due season. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't get upset about it, and if we just continually stay after it and continually move forward with it, amen. In due season, in due season, amen. Amen. Through patience, you possess your seed and receive your harvest. Amen. Hebrews 10:36 says, you are in need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. Once you sow a seed, you have to protect that seed. You have to watch what you say. You have to watch who you hang out with, because some people think that money is evil, or they're just out to get our money or whatever. Amen. It's a tool just as sure as a mechanic's wrench is a tool for what he does. Money's a tool, but too many people see it as, well, they're just trying to get my money or whatever. But if you see it as a tool, Because that's exactly what it is. Because for everybody to get saved in the world, what are we going to have to do? Now let's think about it. Because, you know, is Jesus going to come back before everybody gets a chance to hear the word? When's he going to come back? After every single person has had the opportunity to hear the word of God, had the opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior, then he'll come back. But until then, we're here, right? Right? So how are we going to get overseas then? You think you're just going to thumb it or swim or rent a little jet boat to get over there? How are we going to get there? You know, things we got to ask ourselves. It really is. Amen. It takes finances. And just like finances, it's a tool. Yes, finances is nothing but a tool. It's a thing to help get the word of God out.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just like a mechanic, a wrench to a mechanic, that's how he makes his money. That's his tool. Yep. This is going to help me pay my bills right here. Amen. Right? Amen. After you sow, you can't get out of love or allow offense to come in either. Amen. It will stop the process of the seed if you do. Amen. All right, moving. We're getting there. Financial freedom is sitting in your lap. If you have a Bible. Some people are like, what do you mean? Amen. If the word of God's sitting in your lap, then the freedom is sitting in your lap, financial freedom. Stewardship has to be attended to. Amen. The seed is stewardship training. Amen. God will release money to us to see if we'll be good stewards of it. Amen. Sowing is for people that are not satisfied with regular living. Amen. Go to Mark 4:26, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where did I say? And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should do what?
Yes.
Amen. Sowing is divine action with supernatural expectations. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting excited.
Yes,
son, y'all don't even know. Prayer cannot work against principles. Because spiritual laws were set into motion a long time ago. Amen. 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 Whenever you sow a seed, it's got a seed on the inside of it telling it what to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Either it's the word of God or it's doubt and unbelief.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Me and Chelsea got these scriptures from, actually Dr. Jerry Savelle, for watering your seeds. And we go over them. We go over them daily. Why? Because that seed will produce. That's why. And just like a farmer, they plant a seed, but they still got to take care of the seed, put fertilizer down. They got to water it. To why? To make sure that seed's going to grow and do exactly what that seed needs to do. And so we speak the word of God over our seeds. We don't speak doubt and unbelief, talking about, well, I hope that does something. Maybe that might produce. You know, I've been sowing there, it ain't doing nothing. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some places, if you sow to them and they're not doing what... I'll tell you the story about Jesse Duplantis. He was sowing to a minister, and he didn't see no harvest off the seed that he was sowing to him. So he called him. He said, hey, I'm not being pushy or nothing, but what's going on? I'm not seeing any harvest off this seed I've been sowing to your ministry. And the minister was like, well, we're not doing any of that anymore. He said, all right, I just want to make sure... I'm not going to sow to you anymore since y'all aren't doing what we agreed on.
Amen.
Amen. Why? He's protecting a seed. Because if that seed's not going to do nothing, if it's not doing what you said you'd do, then I'm going to sow it somewhere where it'll produce. A farmer, when he goes out to ground, if it doesn't produce nothing, either he'll start fertilizing it with any kind of stuff, or if the ground's just no good, abandons it. You're welcome, new word, you can have that. Abandons it. However you say it. And goes to actual some ground that will start producing. Amen. Hallelujah. What did I leave off on? Y'all remember? Oh, yeah, it's got a seed on the inside of it. Amen. Verse 27. And should sleep. Let's start off verse 26, please. And he said, who is this talking? Jesus. Amen. Say Jesus. Amen, Jesus. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Next, please. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth what? Amen. Do you know how a seed does it? Do you know how it produces? Do you know how it grows? What all the stuff it's got to do? I don't. I sow a seed, I go to sleep, wake up night and day until the harvest is ready. Then I go get the harvest. Amen. The words right there at the end, he knoweth not how. I wrote down calculation and calibration. That is where people are getting messed up. Amen. Some people. They hear the world talk about, well, it takes this long to pay off a house or a car. You got to do this and this to get out of debt. Look, we're going to consolidate all your debt for you. That way we'll help you out. Now, first off, nothing wrong with that. Amen. Should have heard better amen than that. Amen. And some of y'all should smile. Amen. Let your face know you're happy. It'll be all right. Amen. Well, you're just trying to get my money. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get you into overflow. I'm wanting you to understand it like it took us a little bit to understand. Amen. Are we fully there yet? No. We're striving to get there, though. Amen. And we'll continue to do what the Word of God says. I promise you that. Amen. Because I'm tired of trying to figure it out the world's way. And so I went to the financial system of God, and it's been working out for us tremendously. Amen. Amen. And you... Amen. Okay. Amen. If you take these steps... We can consolidate your debt and all that stuff. Calculation in the Noah Webster means an estimate formed in the mind by comparing the various circumstances and facts which influence its determination. Amen? But too many times we calculate or we collaborate, you know, well, we got to do this and this to pay off that. We got to do that and that to do this. Well, have we went to God, or do we just continually go to the world system? That's where we got to start looking at that, you know, because a lot of times if we're wanting to get out of debt or whatever, we'll start calling the people in the world. We won't even get the word, look at it, and say, all right, God, what do I need to do to get out of debt? What do I need to do here to do this? Amen? And he'll let us know every single time. Look, y'all think I'm just talking to y'all. Well, Ricky, your parents are rich. Yeah, they are. Hallelujah. You think I got to see any of that? I'm not being mean. And I'm not talking about my parents. But if you teach a man how to fish, he'll eat every day. But if you give him a fish, he's going to starve. I'm telling you right now. Because tomorrow, he's going to be hungry again. And are you going to do that for him every single day? It's just like, you know, whenever parents want to continually help their kids out, it's good to a certain extent. At some point, you got to cut the umbilical cord and tell them to get out and learn it. Amen. You got to. Because if not, then they're going to constantly just feed off of you. And they'll never learn these principles in the Word of God if we don't teach them. Amen. Hallelujah. Look, we need to grow up, right? We do. Look, was it hard for me whenever I first moved here? Yeah. You make about $13,000 in 1 year with her and three girls, and tell me how you do. And then the next year wasn't better. For the next few years, we didn't make that much more. Amen. But yet the Word of God continually helped us. Continually helped us. And so we got into that. We didn't go to everybody. You think I'd call my parents, hey, we need some money. We ain't got no money for food. I'd go to the Word of God, ask God, God, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? It's not always that we need to sell something all the time. Amen. If you got to, though, do it. One time I had to sell a gun I owned so that we could buy some groceries during that time. Look, I've been there. Y'all think I'm just talking to y'all about something that I don't know nothing about. I've had to sell some stuff before so that we were able to eat. But we ain't there no more. Why? Because I started seeing what the Word of God said about finances. See, we're always stronger about salvation. Well, what about healing and debt-free, being prosperous? That's the word. Amen. See, we was amen about the, you know, being saved. I said healing and prosperous, though. Everybody just kind of stared at me. Well, what did Jesus do on the cross? Now, we got to figure that out. What did he do? Did he just die for our salvation and that's it? See, there's more than just salvation. I'm not yelling. I'm just very passionate about it. Because there is. Because we were, y'all don't understand. Y'all don't. Y'all wasn't there. I was. Hallelujah. From where he brought us because of the word. Yeah, you can say what you want. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay with the word. Amen. Because it's continually working in our lives. I think we can get through it. We'll move fast. Matthew 13, real fast, please. Matthew 13, about verse 1. King James, please. The wind is blowing. Know if y'all hear that or not. Amen. Matthew 13, 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Amen. Next. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake how many things? I would highlight that. Many things unto them in parables. But yet, this is the one that he brought out to us. And it says he spoke many things to them. But yet he wants to tell us about this one. Right? It said he spake many things unto him. He could have brought any of those out. Amen. But he brought out, behold, a sower went forth to do what? Amen. A sower went forth to sow. This is what he brought out so that we were able to catch on to it. So that we were able to see what sowing does. Right? Jesus taught the mysteries of abundance is knowing how to sow and where to sow. If you read through this, amen. We don't have time right now to read through this. We don't. So on your spare time, read the rest of that. Amen. It's not just the seed, amen. It's the seed and the soil. Right? Because if I just throw a seed on the ground, it'll tell you what it'll do if you just continue reading. It's going to die. Not only that, but ground actually gives the seed the nutrients and everything that it needs to produce. So it's not just the seed. Amen. Y'all know, whenever I tell y'all about what we've done, I ain't bragging on us at all. I want y'all to understand that. I'm bragging on God and what he's done for us and where he's brought us out of. And I'm wanting to show you that he'll do the same exact thing for you if you'll let him. You can sow good seed into bad soil and get no return. Amen. We just talked about that a while ago. Look at Luke 8, verse 1, please. Go to the Passion, if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I'm going to read it out of the Phillips first. Luke 8, 1, it says, not long after this incident, Jesus went through every town and village. It's talking about what we just seen in Matthew 13, amen. Every village preaching and telling the people the good news of the kingdom of God. He was accompanied by the 12 and some women. If you don't have the Phillips, just come see me afterwards if you actually want to make sure it says what I'm saying. Amen. And some women who had been cured of evil spirits and illnesses. Mary, known as the woman of who had once been possessed by seven evil spirits. Joanna, the wife of, Herod's agent, Susanna, and many others who used to look after his comfort. Susanna and many others who used to look after his comfort from their own resources. All right, look at the Passion real fast, please. I just butchered that one. All right, let's try this one. So after Jesus began a ministry tour throughout the country, visiting cities and villages to announce the wonderful news of God's kingdom realm, his 12 disciples traveled with him. And also a number of women who had been healed of many illnesses under his ministry and set free from demonic power. Jesus had cast out seven demons from one woman. Her name was Mary for she was from the village of Among the women were Susanna and Joanna, the wife of that one, who managed King Herod's household. Right? Many other women who what? Many other women, interesting that it's the women. Amen. Let me pull it up out of the Passion real fast. In Herod's household, many other women who supported Jesus' ministry. Amen. From their own personal finances, also traveled with him. Amen. Whose finances were they? Their own. So they chose to support not only Jesus, but his disciples. Another translation says that so that they were comfortable. Amen. To travel down here by him in the Passion, it's got a letter, and if you click on the letter, it's got this little commentary thing beside it. It says, to travel with a rabbi was considered a high honor. Yet it was not permitted in the culture and time of Jesus' ministry for a woman to be mentored by a rabbi. Amen. In spite of the cultural limitations, it was these wealthy women who provided for Jesus' care, and Luke is the one gospel writer who brings out many times Jesus honored women. But despite that, women weren't allowed to do that, but yet they were like, you know what? I believe that God's asking us to help take care of them. We're going to follow them regardless of what the cultural says. Of what the culture says, and regardless of what everybody else says. Because what everybody else says about me, regardless of what color I am, should not affect how I do things. Because how many people that are different color than us are millionaires? Amen. Now, things we need to think about that. Because, you know, there is racism in the world. But should that affect how I'm I'm doing in the Word of God? Should that affect how I'm doing in life, prosperous-wise? Well, you don't understand, Ricky. You're not the same color. Well, here's the thing. The Word talks about a sower that sows will have an abundance and overflow, and regardless of any situation that's going on. I understand that. Not only that, but I know quite a few people that aren't my color that are millionaires. Talking about they drive Rolls Royce. What was that other car I said the other day? A Maserati. He said, and this guy, he's like, look, the slangs and the words that everybody's using, he said they're words. He said, but my money talks. He said, regardless of what they're saying, I got more money. I know the Word of God and how to operate in this. Yeah. So regardless of what they're saying doesn't affect me, it affects them. Yeah. Because now the blessing and the overflow can't get into their lives, right? Because now it's out coming out of hatred. But I continue to walk in love and do what the Word of God says. Now I'm able to see overflow, regardless of what people are saying about me. Yeah. We shouldn't be dictated from the world standards of what... If I'm smart enough, if I didn't go to college, what does that have to do with anything? Y'all know I was dyslexic, and I had to go to a few different classes, special classes or whatever they were, because I couldn't even read right. And I let that hold me back for a long time. I did. I allowed Satan to convince me that I was dumb. And so I grabbed a hold of it and said, yeah, I am dumb. Until I realized I ain't. I got the mind of Christ living on the inside of me. I'm everything that the Word of God says I am, not what the world says I am. To allow somebody to have that much power over you to be able to convince you that you're not worthy or smart enough or not the right color to be able to be a millionaire or live in overflow. That's Satan himself trying to convince us of something, and we've latched onto it and agreed with him. But if we would latch on to stuff, not stuff, but the Word of God as quickly as we do the world, where would we be? We've allowed the news to tell us what's going on and how we should act, and people don't like us. Why don't we allow the Word of God to tell us how we're doing? What's in front of us? What's in store of us? How we should live? What we're supposed to be doing in everyday life? Hey, man. We're getting there. We just read Luke, right? Yeah. Go to 2 Corinthians 8, please. We might not make it. We might have to do communion next week. Is that all right? Is that all right? Okay. We'll do communion next week. I'm going to go a little bit longer. Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, thank you. 2 Corinthians 8:1, please. We'll read it out of the Phillips again. I'm going to read the Phillips, yeah. I don't want to read. I'll just go down to about verse 9. Now, my brothers, we must tell you about the grace that God had given to the Macedonian churches. Somehow, in most difficult circumstances, their joy and the fact of their being down to their last penny themselves produced a magnificent concern for other people. Amen. Amen. Produced. And somehow in most difficult circumstances, it was money.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I agree. All right, good. Somehow in most difficult circumstances, their joy in the fact of being down to their last penny themselves produced a magnificent concern for other people. I can guarantee you that they were willing to give to the limit of their means.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Of their means, not beyond their means.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, and beyond. Oh, wait. Yes, and beyond their means.
Amen.
Sorry. Without the slightest urging from me or anyone else. Amen. Not here to drag money out of you. That's between you and God. Amen. I said that's between you and God, not me and you. Amen. In fact, they simply begged us to accept their gifts and so let them share the honors of supporting their brothers in Christ. Yet they were down to their last penny. They felt a little like, man, y'all shouldn't give that. And they're like, come on, let us sow into y'all. Let us help support y'all what y'all need. Amen. Nor was their gift, as I must confess I had expected, a mere cash payment. Instead, they made a complete dedication of themselves first to the Lord and then to us as God's appointed ministers. Amen. Now this had made us ask Titus, who was already done so much. I ain't going to read the rest of that. You get the time, you read 6 through 9 right there. All right? Okay. All right, thank you. Go down to verse 12. Will you pull that up in the NIV, please? Second Corinthians 8:12 NIV. There it is. And then just be ready to go to Isaiah 1:19 in the NIV too. For if the willingness is there, say willingness. What does that mean? Yeah. Willingness is there. The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Amen. Go to Isaiah 1:19, please. NIV. No, do the Passion first, please. Sorry. Do y'all have the Living Translation too? All right. Isaiah 1:19, the Passion says, Oh, y'all don't have it? I have it. I'll read it to you. It says, if you have a willing heart to let me help you, and if you will obey me, you will feast on the blessings of an abundant harvest. Amen. The Passion says, Isaiah 1:19, if you have a willing heart, willingness, right?
Amen.
A willing heart to let me help you. And if you will obey me, you will feast on the blessings of an abundant harvest. You got the Living? Amen. The Living says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then what? Who's saying that? Amen. Let's read it again. Y'all ready? It says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I, God, will make you rich. And who's the you?
Me.
I'd put my name there. Ricky, if you will only let God help you, Ricky, if you will only obey, then God will make you rich.
Amen.
Amen. What do you mean obey? Do what he asks. Do what he asks. If he says walk in love, walk in love. If he says to sow, sow. Amen. Amen. Should have heard a better amen than that.
Amen.
All right. Ain't got time to go back over it. Moving along. 2 Corinthians 9, please. Do verse 6 in the King James. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall what? Shall what? Reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Right? I'm going to read it to you a different way. This is a Ricky translation. You're welcome. I made it. He which soweth so sparingly is scared to trust what God has said. He which sows bountifully trust what God has said. Where I said he's scared to trust what God has said, it's because people think they're just giving their money away. They don't understand what sowing is. Well, what do you mean, God? You just want me to give this to them? See, you got it all wrong. It's not just giving to somebody. It's called sowing and reaping, especially when God asks you to do it. They don't understand what sowing does for them. Amen. Will you pull up verse 8 in the Amplified, please? And God is able to make all grace, every favor. How many? Every favor. And what? Hallelujah. Every favor. See, God's able. It doesn't ask you what you're able to do. It says God's able. Amen. And to be honest with you, God will never ask you to sow something that you cannot sow. He will not ever. 8:12 just told us that. 2 Corinthians 8:12. Go back and read it. Amen. God will not. Now look, there's been times when we were down. Whenever we first started sowing, y'all know I told y'all a story thousands of times. God asked us to do $20 over our tithe. Asked her, she said it to me. I looked at her like she was crazy. I really did. I was like, yeah, your mama. No, we can't do that, right? But moving along, amen. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate that, Steve. You know, I like you. Amen. But we started doing it. Why? Because God asked. And if I obey. And so the tithe went up. You know, we just kind of purposed in our heart. We was like, you know what? Let's bump it up. I think we can bump it up now. All right, now let's bump it up. And then we got up to, I think it was, it's when we was driving back and forth from Lake Havasu, actually, every other Sunday to help my brother. And on the way back, I said, babe, I think we should bump it up to 200 over the paycheck now. She's like, nah, ain't no way, Ricky. We got bills. We got groceries. We got everything else to pay. She's like, no, there's no way. See, at the beginning, she was helping me because I was like, no, you're crazy. And there's no way. She's like, look, yeah, God asked us to do it. We can do it. It took a minute, but she finally, Ricky, listen. So I started listening. Amen. And so, see, it's also a help. See, and then when I said, I believe we should go up to 200 now. And she was like, I don't know about that. You know, we still got bills. We got to have groceries for the kids. I was like, babe, we can do this. And so she's like, all right. So see, it's a help relationship. It's not one just going after the other. It's, if you're married, both of y'all are together in this. Amen? Amen. And so we did. Amen. And hallelujah, we ain't there no more either. Amen. But moving along, grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you every now and again. Just on Tuesdays. Always in abundance. So that you, who? Say me. Me. May always. Say always. Under what? What's all circumstances, regardless of what's going on, regardless if a bill shows up that you wasn't expecting, regardless if y'all don't have any food in the house, regardless if something breaks down, under all circumstances and whatever the need be, what? Amen. Everybody, what's that word? Amen. So what's that word? Amen. What's that word? Amen. What's that word? What's that word? Amen. Some of y'all don't want to say it. It's all right. We're getting there. It's self-sufficient. It's not going to everybody to borrow money. Amen. And if you're there, it's fine. We were there at one time. Amen. We were there at one time. Amen. We had to do that. But it's self-sufficient. That means that I'm able to do all the groceries. What if a bill or something pops up unexpected, we're able to pay that and it won't even phase us. We won't have to not cut out groceries this month because we had to pay that now. That's self-sufficient. That's not needing to go to everybody to borrow money or whatever. We were there. I had to sell a gun once so that we could buy groceries. We're not there no more. Why? Because we're learning what God said about his finances and his financial plan. That's why. Being it, the need be self-sufficient. Possessing enough to what? And furnished where? In lack? Well, see, I've been sowing seed. Now I don't have any money. Well, you don't know what seed does then. Or you've been talking about your seed. And not in a good way. You've been telling it to die, that it won't produce. Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished and furnished and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. And God is able to make all grace, and every favor, and earthly blessing. What does that mean? You want a new house? You want a new car? Do you want some toys? Because if God put me here, and he created the earth and the world, and he created everything for me to enjoy, why am I not enjoying it? Why have I allowed somebody to tell me that possessions are evil? That having stuff is dumb. Self-sufficient and every favor and earthly blessing come to me in abundance. So that Ricky and Chelsea may always and under all circumstances and under all circumstances and whatever the need be. Whatever the need be, whatever it be, whatever it is, self-sufficient. You know, that's even for people that own businesses. Whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to what? Amen. Self-sufficient, requiring no aid or support. I'm just on God's financial plan. That way, no other person can say that they made me rich. That I can always turn this right back to God. Whenever people ask, how are you doing this? I just tell them, the word, it works. I'm telling you. We caught on to something that God laid out in his word, and now we're just flowing in it every single day. No aid or support. Amen. Self-sufficient. That means if you're just going along and all of a sudden you see a car that you like, son, you just whip in there and buy it. Amen. We're getting there, right? And then you see a house or God just places it, that word, on your heart, you sow it real fast.
Amen.
Why? Because if God asked me to do it, I know what's behind it, number one.
Amen.
And we are coming to that place, Chelsea. Hallelujah. We are. Glory be to God. Be the best year we ever had.
Amen.
Amen. It'll be the best year you ever had if you allow it to. God gave us. Man, I don't know if I want to say that. Amen. Amen. Where are we at? 9:8. Yeah. And God is able. We need to highlight that, make a middle note of that, put that somewhere. You know, I don't make little 3x5 cards and place them everywhere in your house. Y'all remember Dr. Bill Winston? He was talking about his wife was believing for a job. She got 3x5 cards. He said she placed them everywhere in the house. He's like, and when I say everywhere in the house, I mean everywhere in the house. Number one, she wanted to keep the word in front of her.
Yes.
Amen. He said, I'd go to the fridge. I'd open the fridge. There's a 3x5 card. He said, I'd go to the bathroom. I'd lift up the toilet seat. There's a 3x5 card. He's like, she placed them everywhere. That way she kept the word constantly in front of her face. Constantly. That way whenever something came up and tried to tell her or convince her that what she was believing for didn't belong to her, she always had the word in front of her. Amen. Y'all, if you have a chance, read 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15 in the Passion. Not the Passion, the Phillips, I mean. Amen. We got time for one more scripture? All right, I guess not. Amen. Some of y'all like, all right, well, if you get a chance, read Psalms 112, 1 through 10, the Passion. It'll help you. Amen. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really, can we put First Corinthians 2:9 back up? And God is able.
Yeah.
When he said that a second ago, it just hit my spirit. Sometimes we try to take this on ourselves. When he's talking, we're resisting because somehow in ourselves, we're thinking that this is us doing it. God is able. Can we just say that together? God is able. God is able. Yes, my God is able. Able, let's stand to our feet. Father God, I thank you, Jesus, as this wind is blowing outside, hallelujah, the Spirit of the Lord says, I hear a mighty rushing wind, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that this word that was given, Father God, we receive it by faith, that if you place this on pastor's heart to be able to get us from one place to another place, Lord, we receive it. We receive it. We will receive it, Father God. These are the keys to the kingdom. Jesus said, this is how my kingdom works. Thank you, Jesus, that you are teaching us the value of a seed. And no matter what size, no matter the little or the big of this seed, we will not underestimate the seed that you have given us. That we are learning how to plant this seed. We are learning about the good ground and how we need to be good stewards of this seed. I thank you, Father God, that you are teaching us the word, and the water of the word is washing us. Thank you, Father God, that our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, sometimes it might be hard to wrap around these principles that Jesus is talking to us through the living word of God. But by faith, our spirit on the inside of us is grasping that, and our soul is being washed by the word of God. It's being renewed by the word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit in here. And hallelujah. My God is able. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Do you have anything else, honey?
Can you hear me now? Yes. Sorry, I had my mic off. 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, "For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that though he was what?
So very rich.
Yet for whose sake?
Our sake, my sake.
He became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become what?
Enriched. Abundantly supplied.
There you are. It wasn't just salvation that he took to the cross.
Amen.
Abundantly supplied. That means living in overflow every day of your life. Amen. Amen. We'll let Brother Clint dismiss me, and Chelsea will meet y'all at the door.